everyone. Welcome back to the Hall Pass podcast. It's been a few weeks with everyone traveling and Travis covering the Winter Olympics. I'm so excited that we're all back. So how have things been? Tell us a little bit about your travels, Jay, to Korea, and then Travis.
Travis, you want to go first?
Well, I forgot you went to Korea. How long have you been back for?
Oh, it's been about 2 weeks or so.
Okay.
Punkage thought you were in Korea.
Okay.
He was Travis was in Korea.
A lot of people thought that too. We were split up into two different teams. So half of our team was in Korea, and then the other half was in the Yahoo offices in Playa Vista. So it was funny too, because we would have a staff meeting at 1 a.m. with everyone. So we would Skype in with, because all the, I don't know what time it would have been in Korea, like 6 or 7 at night maybe. So we would have a Skype meeting at 1 a.m. here. And it was just funny just being on that sort of time switch where they were getting at the end of their day, and at 1 a.m. we were just beginning
starting
hours.
Our day, yeah.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was fun just watching the Olympics. The Olympics have always been one of my favorite sporting event, the summer especially, but the winter. What I love about the winter is that you watch the Winter Olympics events and you're like, if I trained really, really hard for that, I would still end up in the emergency room. You watch them doing all these flips
and
twists,
it's
nuts. It was a blast, though.
Well, there's one event where you ski up and down the hill, and they're running in their skis, and I just had no idea what that sport was.
And then there's the biathlon, which you're cross country skiing and then randomly shooting at targets. Yeah. It's just if there were an apocalypse, who would survive?
Yeah, it's really cool, guys. If you guys go on Yahoo Sports, and if you look at any of the kind of the Winter Olympics articles, you'll see a lot of Travis Muirder's name.
Yeah,
there,
we had we ended up as a group between. So we had there were. Eight of us working all the midnight to eight shifts, and we produced more than 500 stories.
Wow.
So there's plenty to read if you're bored.
Yeah, go back and read about that. Jay, what about you? How was Korea?
So I spent most of my time at our Seoul office. We also went to a couple of expos. And by the way, there was a baby fair.
Yeah.
I think maybe you might have caught wind of that.
Should have gone.
Yeah, we went to two different educational expos. And I think the one thing I can kind of convey to the audience is there's an increase in concern in regards to immigration to the U.S. now. And it has to do a lot with preconceptions or notions about, the current administration and their policies in regards to things like, immigration and students and
that's really
international affairs in that sense. But other than that, it was a standard affair of amazing food.
Does that have to do with the current president?
There's a general undertone of that, but obviously, if you get into the weeds of it, I myself am not clear what implications are causing an entire nation in South Korea to be concerned in this way. But it's definitely palpable. There's definitely people who are raising questions like, hey, I'm worried that if I go for a year to study and the visa something issue, that I might be in trouble for that. And so that was never a concern 2 years prior, but it's becoming more and more so. And I just wanted to point that out. What that means for us domestics is that I guess there'll be less international students applying. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing from a financial standpoint, as opposed to admission competitive standpoint, we have yet to be able to determine. So it's going to be an interesting next year, I think.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Okay, so on that note, nothing really has been happening for me except that I've been here and my son actually got really sick this past weekend. And as a new time mom, having a sick baby with a 104-degree fever has been very scary, to say the least. But he's getting over his coughs now, and he doesn't have much of a fever, but he's still sneezing a lot, and every time he sneezes there's a bowl of snot that comes out of his nose. So it's really
it's a good,
great
it's, a good
it's
image.
Really great yeah it's really great motherhood is awesome. So anyway, let's go ahead and get started. So this episode we're going to be discussing supplemental materials. What are supplemental materials? When do we submit them? How do students start preparing for them? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So before we get started, I just kind of want to define what supplemental materials are, and then we'll go from there. So Supplemental materials are basically any extra materials beyond the actual college applications that students can submit to the schools. And they, you know, range from anywhere from, you know, audio recordings to musical scores to art portfolios that include like design or architecture to film to dance videos if you're a dancer to creative writing samples to academic papers to research abstracts to extra letters of recommendations and even an expanded high school resume and more. That was just, you know, very short list. So really there's a lot of different kinds of materials that colleges allow students to submit as supplemental materials that could be added to their application and they could add value to their application. So what you should do as a high school student, if you are kind of considering this, is to first and foremost check the college policies. There's no blanket one-time policy for everything, you know, not one size fits all for every single college that's out there. In fact, every college is different, but now with the STEM becoming STEAM and adding art, more and more colleges are beginning to allow students to submit supplemental materials. But there's no blanket policy when it comes to them. So I would highly recommend that you check the admissions website for any school that you are considering to apply to. And if they don't accept supplements, it's a really, really important rule of thumb. If they do not accept supplements, do not send any. College admissions spend lots of time with papers and things that they need to look at. If they're saying, hey, you know what, we don't accept supplemental materials, and you send them, it could potentially have a negative adverse effect on your application. So they don't accept it, don't send it. The other thing I want to mention is that for college policies, sometimes they'll only let you submit supplemental materials if you are applying as that major. So, for example, if you're applying as a fine arts major, they'll allow you to submit, obviously, a fine arts supplemental portfolio. But if you're not applying as a fine arts major, then they will not let you submit it. So, again, colleges' policies are a little bit different, so I would definitely recommend looking into them to see if they do accept any supplements. Do you guys have anything on that?
Yeah, just to, I guess, give a overarching viewpoint of that. So if I were a student right now and I was wondering, okay, Jenny, I hear you. There's all these different kinds of rules and exceptions for the supplemental submission. So what should I do? Well, step one is you should start to determine your college list. And that's what we're doing right now with our current juniors. We're starting relatively early. I don't think it's too early to start looking into colleges, frankly, but after the first semester end of junior year, you should be kind of eyeballing a list of colleges that you want to go towards. And you should start creating maybe like an Excel sheet to do research, maybe one a week or two a week, where you just look into what their policies are, the do's and don'ts for each of the schools. So that's the advice I'd give.
Yeah. So who reviews supplements? A lot of students ask me this question. So in some cases, faculty members, so actual art professors or film professors or, you know, people that are going to be teaching that area are going to be reviewing them, not necessarily admissions committees. So if you submit a short film, then a film professor is going to be the one critiquing your directing skills. So if you are submitting supplemental materials, that means you should feel fairly confident that your work is strong and a necessary piece. I think this is a really important element that I do want to mention. A lot of students are like, oh, they accept supplements. I'm just going to try on my iMovie really quickly and put something together and submit that. You're going to be competing against students who have been working on film their entire life. You know, so if you're not talented or, you know, you haven't been doing it your whole life or even have somebody that helps you create that film portfolio, I would say you might want to reconsider just because the people that are going to be re-evaluating your supplements are going to be those faculty members or people that are well-versed in that field. Anything from you guys on that?
I know that later on we're going to talk about like how do you determine whether it's going to be good or bad, right? And so I'm going to hold until the end there how you can get help to determine what is good or bad? Do I listen to mom who tells me I'm the best all the time and believe in all she says, or do
moms
I have to
are
reach
great
outwards?
Though. Moms are, hey, moms are great.
But I guess I'll jump a little bit into it. There's, you know, Jenny and Travis, I think we've run into this scenario where a student provides like a potential supplement. Like, hey, I have this choir and music supplement that I want you to check out. I think it's awesome and I think I want to send. And we sit down and we listen to it, and it's just super awkward because it's not that great.
So, I'm not that great at singing either, but I think I can tell at this point. Yeah, what, yeah, what's
it's
good
not
or bad.
To say that
right.
we're, you know.
Right, we're not singers over here.
But we'll talk a little bit more about that and how to address that.
Yeah, I love that. Travis, did you have anything about that?
I would say, I mean, for the most part, sort of along that same lines, that with supplemental materials, when you think about how extensive applications are, if you're adding additional information for them to look at, one, I would double check and make sure that you can't add that somewhere else in the application itself and make sure that you didn't miss that somewhere. And two, I would make sure that you think about the admission reader's view, that they're reading thousands and thousands and thousands of these applications. This better add significant value to your application or just show something different, mm-hmm. or I would err on the side of caution. Because mm-hmm. if it's, say, it's that music sample, right, that your mom says was great, but a Harvard music professor is going to look at it maybe a little bit differently, mm-hmm. I'd say maybe leave that one out. So if you're not super confident in the supplemental material, let the rest of what is a very extensive application speak for itself.
Yeah, I love that. So on that same note, think carefully before you submit extra. You know, admissions committees read thousands and thousands of applications every cycle. We talked about this in episode one when we talked about the numbers rising of applicants. Like, that's just more and more work for admissions committees to do. So use caution before giving them more to read. If you're going to give an admissions officer a packet or something more to review, make sure that it is valuable time. Make sure that it is going to add value to your application. So an additional letter of recommendation from another teacher won't necessarily tell colleges anything new about you, especially if there's already two letters of rec going into your application. If this third teacher is not going to add value to what's already in your application, stay away from that. You should probably ask from an employer if you had a part-time job, or, you know, a
community mentor, yeah, leader,
athletic coach, any of those things might work better. So even recommendation letters are considered supplemental materials. So if you are going to choose an additional letter of rec, then you need to make sure that they add value. It's not the same things that's already in your application. And next episode, we're actually going to talk a little bit more about letters of rec and what you need to do. So we'll delve into that a little bit more. Mm. Do you guys have anything more on those submitting extra stuff?
I guess the next question that runs into my students' minds are how we submit, and because every art portfolio or supplement, it's not all sizes are the same. For example, I have students who have YouTube channels or students who have podcasts, and they're always curious of how, especially parents, are they're curious of how that translates into an application. And mm-hmm. so if I can clarify on that, if you wanted to upload or submit a supplement, again, general rule of thumb, every college has their own set of instructions, but generally speaking, when you're applying through the Common application, there's something called Slide Room. If you're doing the Coalition application, there's a Locker Room. And what it is basically a upload database, a upload server, where you can input any digital files into there. And so a lot of your supplements will have to become digitized and has to be put into a form factor. I think, like, for videos, it's less than 250 megabytes for an upload. Mm-hmm. For certain documents, it's less than 10 megabytes. And so there's going to be these little rules and restrictions. And I highly suggest students who are interested in applying with a supplement to go online later today or throughout this week to see Slide Rooms and their general FAQs of what is allowed, what's permissible, and what's not. Sometimes colleges will have their own specific server or their own website or portal to submit into. They'll circumvent Slide Room or the Locker Room to say, hey, we've got a special little portal that you need to input it into. And so that's something you also want to be aware of as you are listing out your colleges and doing the research into how to apply to them properly.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, when we're thinking about just in the case of time and asking them to do extra work for you, is that when you are submitting, be mindful of the length of the material mm-hmm. that you're submitting. Mm-hmm. So if you edited a short film, but it's 30 minutes long, hate to break it to you, but that's probably not getting watched. Or, you know, if you have a, if you're a prospective journalism major and you have a podcast, don't send them an hour long podcast. Maybe chop up a couple of highlights mm-hmm. of sort of like a clip reel of you speaking well or mm-hmm. something like that. So just keep it compact and get to the point quickly with your supplemental material.
Yeah, and a lot of them will have directions on that. You know, they'll say a 5-minute clip or a 2-minute clip, right? You know, and so check on how many art pieces they want in a portfolio. What are the acceptable file formats? Do they just want JPEG or do they want PDF? And how do they want you to submit? So Jay just mentioned like SlideRoom or Coalition, or whatever the school wants you to do. And also, you know, just keep in mind that there might be a small submission fee that you need to pay in order to submit your supplemental material.
Yeah, there is a small submission fee. I remembered that, especially if you wanted to add more supplements. I think the supplemental fee that I experienced with a student this past season was, I think, $10 extra for 5 more materials. And I think it's, remember, bear in mind, SlideRoom is in partnership with the Common App and the colleges, and it's made so that the colleges themselves can specify what they require on the SlideRoom. So every college's SlideRoom upload is going to be customized to the school's desires. So they're going to be different.
Yeah, I actually wanted to mention one really quick thing. So students who are athletes that are looking to get recruited D1, D2, or D3 sometimes ask me, can I put highlights of like my basketball games as my supplemental material or things like that? So I'm going to be honest, I actually haven't ran into any college that will allow you to do that. I've never seen a college application that says, oh, submit any sort of video that highlights your you know, talent in sports. However, I do know that athletic directors and coaches might ask you to send something to them, or when you send them emails to kind of show them what you're all about and your capabilities, then you might email that to them. And sometimes college coaches or athletic directors might say, hey, you know, for the supplemental material, go ahead and put in one of your videos. So unless you've been given those specific directions, I would say, yeah, you know, highlights of your sports kind of accomplishments could be put together and they could be to good use. And you can maybe create a YouTube channel or something like that. But they wouldn't necessarily go in as supplemental materials, at least in the eyes of what college admissions is looking for, beyond the recruitment element of what athletic directors want. Do you have anything to add about that?
I think in terms of athletics, if you are going to a college and you want to play a sport there, a coach will have identified himself to you and probably asked for the specific material. Or if you're being recruited, he's seen you play and he has his own film, or he's requested it from your coach. So in the most case, if you're just a student and you think, oh, well, I was a half decent basketball player in college, let me throw this in there, it's not getting watched.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, that's great. So I think this is a really important point that I wanted to talk about, is what's your story? And in that same respect, like, what is your major? So college supplements should complement what you say about yourself in the rest of your application. Are you a future STEM major? Are you considering submitting a recommendation from your summer research mentor? Did you write in your application that you have a passion for creative writing? So all of these things, you know, and if you did do that, you know, maybe creating like a selection of original poems that you can add to your application could be beneficial. Or maybe if you talked about enrolling in a creative writing workshop in college, then you could talk about that. So basically it needs to align. You know, it would be a little bit odd for someone to submit like a photography portfolio when in your college application you didn't mention anything about the fact that you loved photography. And in the same sense with STEM majors, or if you're going into engineering and you didn't talk about anything about the fact that you did dance, but you submitted a dance portfolio, it wouldn't align properly. So really think about that story, really holistically understand who you are as a student, and if this is going to align with the rest of what you put on your application. And I wanted to take some time for you guys to talk about this too.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be zigging on your entire application then just zagging the supplemental materials.
I like that. Zigging and then zag. Yeah.
Because then you just throw everybody off. And if it's an interest that you had that doesn't align with your major, it's going to be on your resume or somewhere else in your application or activities. Adding the supplemental material isn't really gonna add that value that we mentioned earlier, that you want your supplemental material to boost whatever it is you're striving for. Mm-hmm. And if you're an engineering major, it's probably not going to make a ton of sense to submit poems, mm-hmm. right? So you want to kind of keep it in line with what your goals are, with what you want to get into college for.
Yeah. Let's highlight those kind of strengths.
Keep on zigging.
Keep on zigging. Don't zag.
So my experience with this is occasionally I'll run into most likely parents who bring in this huge portfolio file of, like, they've been keeping track since they were 2 years old of all the accomplishments.
Oh, yeah. We see those all the time. Yeah, and they bring them in. A backpack full of, of awards that they've received. When she was 2 years old, she got best circles. Yeah. She made the best circles in her class.
And it's not to detract from
their achievements. No, I'm a mom. I would do the same thing.
But I guess, like, the issue that comes up a lot is the time relevance. Does a seventh grade supplemental type of work, will that make sense to put into your senior applications? And so I think it depends on the content itself. And this is where we have to get into the gray areas of kind of seeing the overall picture, the actual accomplishment or update or supplement itself. But parents, please be advised, as well as students, that the application and the supplement is not a place where it's not the trash bin where you throw everything else in, mm-hmm. right? I wouldn't call it trash bin. What do you call it? It's not that bin where
your
you put in all the leftovers.
Cabinet.
Okay. It's a place where you have to be strategic and you have to be selective. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'd have to say.
Yeah, I like that. So just be aware of early deadlines. That's another thing I wanted to mention. So for example, Yale, Stanford, you know, if you do submit a supplement, if you submit like an art portfolio or other supplemental materials, like film or things like that, they do have an earlier deadline. So for Stanford, if you were applying for the early admission, which is November 1st, but you were submitting an art portfolio, they actually ask you to submit on October 15th. And that includes your entire college application as well. So just be aware of those early deadlines. You don't want to miss an opportunity to submit a supplemental material because you missed the deadline. So just kind of think about that. And then we kind of mentioned this earlier, but Travis, maybe you can delve into a little bit more of, like, how do I choose the types of, you know, materials or things like that?
I think the first criteria is it's got to be good, right? It has to be exceptional to add. And so I would run your supplemental material by a group of people who will give you honest feedback. Mm-hmm. And parents are great, probably not what you want. You want a teacher who is going to be honest with you. In this case, I mean, a coach is usually great with being honest with students, because sometimes even teachers, you know, they're a little bit too F, and you know, they have a little bit too much feelings to kind of give you an honest opinion. But definitely run it by a couple people who will give you honest feedback, whether it's going to add value and help you out. Two, if you don't have that crew of people, if it won an award, relevant to the time you are now. So if it won an award, like say it was a writing contest, mm-hmm. right? And that essay or poem or whatever it was won an award for something, that might be good to add on there, mm-hmm. because that is objectively deemed as exceptional material. Mm-hmm. So that is usually a good thing as well.
Yeah.
And another one too, we mentioned earlier, you want to keep it in line with what your major is, or at least the general field. So if you're an engineering major, you know, adding an art project or a dance portfolio of some kind, probably not going to be the most relevant thing to add. Mm-hmm. And it should be new information. This shouldn't be something that you've covered in your resume. This shouldn't be something that you have elsewhere on your application. This should be supplemental to the definition. Mm-hmm. You are supplementing something on your application. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I do think it's important to seek professional, honest advice. I think there's plenty of resources out there, and let's say worst case scenario, you can't find those resources. What can I do? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's 2018. There's something called the interweb, the internet. And I think that a lot of searching can find you plenty of good examples, like actual legitimate, this is a great architecture portfolio. And you even sometimes have admission officers from schools that would give details as to why they thought this was good. And this gives you kind of a marker of what to look for. So I really think there's no excuse as to when you ultimately submit a supplement that's subpar, that you should be able to do your own research and be self-sufficient online to get a good idea of what is good to submit versus not.
And yeah. I've heard of this crazy company called Admission Masters too.
Yeah,
that may be able to help you with the decision making process.
Yeah, so I was just gonna say I'm gonna do a quick plug really quick. So Admission Masters just did a partnership with Admission Masters Art Institute called AMAI, and on March 18th we are going to hold a free seminar and portfolio review. Ooh. Which is going to be led by the director of admissions at Art Center. His name is David Sallow, and so that'll be March 18th at 3 p.m. at the Brea office. You can find their information on the admissionmasters.com website. But it'll be a really great opportunity for those of you who are planning on submitting a portfolio or have a few art pieces that you just want someone to give you that honest advice or feedback or critique. And that way you know what to do about that portfolio. So welcome all. It's completely free. It's a free seminar and portfolio review. So come and bring your portfolio, bring your art pieces to get reviewed and evaluated by a director of admissions.
That was very impromptu, by the way. Like, I had no idea we had that plug. This was a very innocent plug. Very serendipitous. Audience. We did not plan this. Just that the topic so perfectly aligned.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Travis, that was an exceptional segue to that. So yeah, just final advice, take advantage of all of those types of things. Start early if you have talent in these areas, your musical, your singer, your filmmaker, whatever. Start early, you know, start as early as middle school, if not start now. And, you know, you might, those things might actually help you in your application process to show that you are a very creative and innovative student. And it would add value. So start early.
So my advice would be it's starting early, definitely, so you could build your craft and you could show your growth and hopefully get to a mastery level that's worthy of raising some eyebrows in the admission process. But at the same time, I would argue that it's never too late to get started on a portfolio if you really feel passionate and strongly for something. I've seen students Absolutely. In the last summer of their senior year, not that I recommend this, but they'd started in the last semester or the last senior year summer, and they really put their heart into their craft. And I've seen great results turn out that way. So start early, but it's never too late. And always seek not just professional advice, but honest advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Travis, any last words?
Mine would just be add value. Just make it good. Make sure that you're not wasting the time of admission officers who are already taking a great deal of time to read your application. So just make sure that what you're submitting at the end of the day is going to add value to your application.
So before we go on to answer some of the questions from our listeners, we just wanted to say thank you again for listening to our podcast. And I know a few of you emailed us and said, hey, you know, you guys had this episode, season 3, episode 1, and you haven't come back yet. So we're sorry. You know, there were some of us that, you know, were traveling or doing other things. So yeah. We're really, really happy to be back and excited to bring you some new content. And to our loyal listeners and followers that are tuning in every week, again, thank you so much. If you missed any of our episodes, you can find it on iTunes or www.thehallpasspodcast.com. So let's go ahead and answer a question. This is also one of our loyal listeners. He said, my question is, what should seniors do after submitting their college applications, like Common App or UC App? You know, is there more paperwork or forms that I need to fill out? Should I start the recovery process and actually sleep 8 to 10 hours or continue to work on my GPA and get more awards and scholarships? Like, when can a senior finally relax, was his question.
All right. So I hate to break it to you, but here's the real short answer. It never stops. Okay. Once you've completed the application process and you're awaiting the results in March, do bear in mind that your academics still matter. You also want to start thinking about preparing for college itself, what your summer plans are going to be. You want to be on top of your college acceptance portals and notifications to make sure you're keeping track. Sometimes colleges will ask for updated information very last minute and you have 3 or 4 days to respond. I've seen some students receive requests from colleges saying, hey, we have an additional 2 or 3 essays we'd like for you to write, and we need this in 5 days. And so if you open up your email on the 4th day, this is going to be quite the crunch for you. So always being on top of your communications, your contacts, especially with the colleges and the applications. You're going to have to start, once the acceptances start rolling in, you're going to have to think about where you're going to deposit and register to. You want to start thinking about college and campus tours in the month of April. Once you get all your results, see and narrow it down. You're going to have to start filling out paperwork, namely for things like financial aid or starting for dorms or transferring academic credits. So there's a lot that you're going to do. Unfortunately, once you finish high school, it's not that things die down. I would argue that things get a little bit more complicated because you have to start taking more and more responsibility for your life. Mm-hmm. And the way I'd like to say it is, it's an internet meme. Once you finish your senior year, you've reached the top of the mountain, but you're only halfway up.
Mm. It's powerful.
There's a paradox, right? I guess more a technical counselor answer to this question as a senior, what should I be concerned about after I apply? Well, you want to keep pushing until May or June. And the reason for that is because you will potentially get waitlisted to some of your schools. And pursuing the waitlist appeals process does require of you to provide additional supplements or additional show of academic achievement. And so if your grades are dwindling downwards, they're spiraling downwards, that doesn't bode well for you mm-hmm. through the waitlist process. So keeping your grades up is important. Till when do your grades matter? Frankly, till the very end, mm-hmm. at least until May and June. Mm-hmm. The reason behind that is not just the waitlist appeals process, but it's also because the schools you've been accepted to have a condition to your acceptance. They usually come with a, hey, you have to maintain a certain academic standing. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't, and this is not a, what do you call it, a false warning? It's not
like
a hollow.
Like an empty threat.
It's not an empty threat at all, ladies and gentlemen.
We've seen this far too often.
Oh, sad. If you do not perform academically to the standard that the college who's accepted you wants you to be performing by, then they can rescind your acceptances. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, the scariest R word is not rejected. It's rescinded. That's a huge gut punch. And so I definitely
want students to avoid that. Yeah, it's like you get accepted to your dream school and then you can't go anymore. And it's not just academics. Like if you, for some reason, get suspended or, you know, any of those.
You get caught cheating.
Yeah. Any of those things could mean that you can get it rescinded.
And just in this world of social media, just... if you think that what you're posting on Twitter might get you in trouble, don't post it.
Delete all of your social media.
Just be careful on social media. I've seen, mostly in athletics, so many kids get their scholarships revoked or acceptances rescinded because of stuff that they're posting on social media. So beyond academics, which you need to keep up, just be an intelligent human being on social media and what you're presenting to the public.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for that question. I'm sure a lot of seniors have been asking or thinking the same thing. Thank you all for tuning in on season 3, episode 2. Join us next week for our season 3, episode 3, where we'll be delving into teacher recommendations and just recommendation letters in general. Again, we would love for you to send us an email of general topics and questions you might want us to cover in our podcast at
thehallpasspodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, we missed that.
It's been too long.
All right, everyone. Till next time. Bye.
Later.